As we come together today to celebrate and to remember the life of Reverend Dr. Sue Bertolette, I invite you to join in singing our opening hymn, "In the Bulb There Is a Flower." Music and words can be found on the insert in your programs, and I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as you are able. We have indeed gathered in this place to honor, to remember, and to celebrate Sue, Reverend Sue, Mom, Nan, to remember the life that she lived and the innumerable number of lives that she touched and changed. We come to hold space for our grief, to cry, to share in our common loss, to hear from those who knew her best, and to be reminded that we are not alone as we navigate the feelings of this day and all the challenging days ahead. We come to this sacred time and space to renew our faith in God's promises, promises of comfort, of peace, of hope, promises that assure us that the story does not end here, that death does not have the last word, but that even in the midst of pain and loss, there is yet more life to be found.
Let us pray. God of the ages, our times are in your hands. You bring us into this world, and you carry us out of it. And in between our first breath and our last, you are our help, our comfort, our strength, and our guide. As we enter into this time of worship and remembrance, we do so trusting in you to sustain us both in joy and in grief. Ground us firmly in the promise of resurrection, that we may be free to celebrate a life lived in your service, a life precious to us all. Fill us with gratitude for the gift that was Susan C. Bertolette, who came from you and has now returned to you. To yours be the glory, God of life, In the name of Christ and through the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and 16 through 18. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight, momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Our second scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. I would say this is Paul's advice on how to live our lives, and also Reverend Sue's advice by her example on how to live your life. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, but hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And our final scripture reading is Psalm 23, probably familiar to many of you. This was Reverend Sue's favorite version, the King James translation, and I invite you all to read this scripture with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Oh my, oh my. Thank you, choir. Friends, grace and peace to you from the brothers and sisters and siblings of the Pennsylvania Southeast Conference. I am the Reverend Kevin McLemore. I am the Associate Conference Minister for Search and Call, as well as the Acting Conference Minister. And I bring you greetings on behalf of the Reverend Bill Worley, our conference minister, who is now on sabbatical travels and is truly, truly deepened and deeply saddened not to be able to join us in this service, of course, of profound sorrow, but also a celebration of a life well lived. I know that Bill deeply respected and loved Pastor Sue as a colleague, but more profoundly as a friend. And there is no doubt that he even now is lifting the family and all of us who love Sue in his prayers at this very moment. So these words come from Pastor Bill. He asked me to read them in his stead. As she was here at St. John's, Sue was a pillar of our conference and the United Church of Christ. She was a delegate to several general synods, the past moderator of our conference, and a sought-after participant in numerous conference and association committees. And she was also a member of the search team that called me as the ACM late last year, for which I am deeply grateful. Sue was profoundly, deeply respected for her deep faith, her hard work, her leadership skill. She lived as though St. Augustine's words, pray as though everything depended on God and work as everything depended on you. It's almost as if they were a directive given directly to her. She was deeply admired by her countless clergy colleagues, many of you who are here, for her gifts of discernment and grace and non-anxious wisdom. She made the practice of ministry look easy, and that put the rest of us at ease. But ministry is not easy, and Sue entered it at a time when women clergy were not easily welcomed, and sometimes not at all. She was one powerful woman who endured and persevered in the art of pastoring for the benefit of future women in ministry, and indeed for the blessing of us all. At the end of the day, people won't remember what you said or what they did or what you did. They will remember how you made them feel. In deference to Maya Angelou's observation, I am certain that we are here because of what Pastor Sue said and did, and especially because of the way she made us feel. I am certain that every feeling in that rainbow of emotions is here, and that Sue would remind us that their coming together is the best expression of God's presence. Sue's ongoing mantra was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Enabled her to endure a battle with cancer that confronted many of us with this question. Could I so endure? Could I endure and not lose heart or faith? Could I be brought to the lowest places of body and soul and still proclaim God's goodness? Sue did. She would quickly say that was due entirely to the grace of God, the support of amazing congregation, and the love and the support of her children, John and Kelly, Jen and Ryan, and her grandchildren, Ruby and Levi, whose names would not pass her lips without a short story and a smile. And Bob, marriage is hard. Being married to a minister is even harder. It never escaped Sue's awareness for even a moment, well, maybe a moment or two, that she could have endured the pastorate without you, Bob. For your patience, support, and care of Sue while she cared for the rest of us, our church, and our wider church, you know, we owe you a profound debt of gratitude that we will never be able to repay. So thank you, thank you, and thank you. So I leave you with the words Jesus spoke when he left his disciples, words that Sue offered countless times to grieving families. I believe she would want you to hear them and then take them to heart. You have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. May it be so, and may she know a holy rest, and may the family and the good people of this place eventually know a peace that passes all understanding. To the glory of God, amen.
tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Sue liked to quote the poetry of Mary Oliver, and that is a line I heard from her more than once. I have to say, it always seemed a little discordant coming from Sue. After all, wild was hardly a word most of us would use to describe her. Thoughtful, deliberate, responsible, faithful, careful in the best sense of the word, diligent, compassionate, resolute, but wild? Not so much. That is, of course, if we define wild as being unpredictable, uncontrolled, chaotic. That was certainly not Sue. But if we define wild as untamed, free to live according to one's essential nature, then Sue's life was wild indeed. Sue found her freedom in living out her inner nature. We know that, don't we? Because Sue was always Sue. Oh, she adapted herself appropriately to her immediate circumstances. I'm sure she was a little different with her family than she was with her congregation. And she fully respected professional boundaries, but when it came right down to it, Sue was always Sue. She fulfilled many roles in her life, but she never played a role. She knew who she was. She had integrity, wholeness. And that was the quality that bound together all those other wonderful qualities that we saw in her. Sue and I were colleagues and friends for 37 years. Going back to the days when the women clergy of the North Penn Association used to meet regularly for lunch and mutual support. We were friends for 37 years. But whether you knew her for decades or merely for weeks, whether you knew her as a family member, a community leader, a member of this congregation, I suspect your descriptions of her would all be pretty much the same as mine. Sue lived out of her inner being, her inner nature, and we find a clue to that inner nature, I think, in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. Have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Sue spent her life doing her best to take on the mind of Christ as her own, to find the mind of Christ in her own mind and in her heart, until servanthood, Christ's way of servanthood, became her natural way of being. It wouldn't surprise anyone that one of Sue's favorite hymns begins like this. Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Sue found her joy and her calling in serving others because servanthood had become her inner nature. It wasn't something she did resentfully or out of duty. She did it because it was who she was. She would be the first to say she didn't do it perfectly, for she was not Christ herself. But you can't serve the same congregation for 42 years with energy and gladness unless it is in your nature to do so. Over the past months, Sue's outer nature was slowly stripped away, even as her inner nature continued to be strengthened through faith. When she left her outer nature behind last Thursday and entered into the full glory of God's love and light, I suspect she was pretty much immediately at home because her inner nature had been living in that light and love all her life as she served others and occasionally allowed herself to be served. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We now know completely what Sue did with hers. Thanks be to God for her witness. Thanks be to God for her servanthood. Thanks be to God for the wild and precious life that was Sue. Amen.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what is in store for those of us who love God. This scripture passage from 1 Corinthians was shared by Sue at the end of Lent last March as part of her In Touch Tuesday message. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those of us who love God. The rest of Sue's In Touch message had to do with letting go and relinquishing control so that we humans can learn to experience the strength and calm only God can offer. In the words of the psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God." Sue quoted Joseph Campbell, who said, "We need to be willing to let go of the plans we've made to take hold of the life that is waiting for us." We know that Sue always impressed upon us how words matter. And she was a master at selecting just the right scripture, just the right quote from a meaningful author. As many here know, often what we pastors preach and teach for others is also what we need to be reminded of too. As Sue shared that In Touch Lenten message, she surely was in touch with the severe challenges she continued to have as she faced life with cancer. And she, like us, would ask the same types of questions we might ask, trying to understand, to make sense of cancer's repercussions. She would, no doubt, encourage us to address those questions to God and to persevere with God. Sue was fond of saying, "We don't get to choose the hand of cards we are dealt, but we do get to choose how we play those cards." And Sue played her hand of cards through the lens of faith. She was laser focused on God and God's promises, even when, and especially when, her body was riddled with pain. Now, some have wondered about her long journey in hospice, the whys and the wherefores, and of course, we can only surmise. I was envisioning Sue sitting with God, having a cup of tea or maybe a glass of wine. Sue was telling God how important it was to her that Bob and Jenny and John and Ryan and Kelly and Ruby and Levi and all her faith family of St. John's, loved ones near and far, she was telling God how important it was to her that they be provided with a special loving healing touch of God, especially when she would let go of earthly life and step into God's eternity. I suspect Sue's words to God would have been clear and careful and bold, as they have been many times over the years to us. Sue may have even quoted appropriate scripture, saying, "Remember when Jesus lamented over Jerusalem and said, 'Often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood.'" As Sue pressed God to care for her beloved family and friends, as a mother hen and Sue cared for her brood. Ah, yes, Sue would be steady and persistent. And God, I believe, would smile with Sue, knowing that love, her love, God's love, our love for Sue, love wins. Perhaps then Sue would let go and rest in the strong and loving arms of God. It might be said she would rest her case before God and then enter the peace of God that passes all understanding. Some of you may or may not be aware that Sue was instrumental in encouraging me to say yes to the call of becoming the Minister of Spiritual Nurture in the Penn Southeast Conference. That call lasted 19 years. And when Sue was moderator of the conference, she spurred me on. And when my young daughters came along, she encouraged me to bring them with me to meetings and conference events. And that was pretty much unheard of at the time, though today it is very common. I hold so many dear memories of Sue, as I'm sure you do too. Memories of working with her on the PSEC Spiritual Life Mission Team, and memories of sharing leadership with her and others in the Ventures Elder Adult Retreat Program, a program that Sue was involved with from the beginning with Ethel Schallenberger, a longtime and devoted member of this St. John's faith family. My prayer is that our memories of Sue may continue to bring smiles of gratitude and ongoing assurance. My prayer is that we continue to share our memories with one another and then dare to live faithful lives as Sue taught us to do. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those of us who love God. The good news is that as Sue has entered eternal life with God, Sue is seeing, she is hearing, and her heart is experiencing what's in store for the fullness of God's love for her. And my friends, I am absolutely certain it is glorious.
Thank you.
small but mighty. From the time I met her to her final moments, that was Sue. More than once, I have heard someone say that Sue was larger than life, which always made me chuckle because she stood about a foot below me. But I knew what they meant. She was, for us, a reminder of something much larger than the trappings of this life. She represented, championed, and devoted her entire being to the bigger picture, the higher road, the expansive and all-encompassing love of a God who draws the circle wide and wider still. And yet, it was all the little stuff that made her heart, her spirit, her presence, her impact so big. Gentle, calm, fierce, bright, intuitive, wise, caring, compassionate, poised, eloquent, I could go on and on. She was so much to so many. A trailblazer, making a way as a woman in ministry where there really was no way, making a way for me, too, something I will never, ever forget as I live out my own call to ministry. She was a fighter, battling cancer with everything she had for so many years, while also serving and caring for a congregation of over 800. She was a loving and beloved wife, mom, nan, pastor, sage, mentor, and friend. One of the worst mistakes you could ever make was to let her small stature fool you. Sue was mighty, mighty strong, mighty wise, mighty loved. In the past several weeks, I have spent time in what was Sue's study just off the chancel. I have sat quietly in her chair. I have cried. I have prayed. I have talked out loud, hoping, knowing that somehow Sue was hearing me. I have run my fingers over things she left behind that she cherished or wanted to leave for us. I have flipped through the handful of folders and papers she left on her desk, precious thoughts recorded, wisdom made tangible, sermons preached. Many, if not all of you, have had the opportunity to hear one or perhaps many of Reverend Sue's sermons. She did have about 12 filing cabinet drawers full of them after all. But from where I sit on a Sunday morning, I got to see behind the pulpit, so to speak. And what I mean by that is while all of you listened to her sermons, I got to see them, and they always made me smile. You see, some preachers are manuscript preachers, meaning we write out word for word what we're going to say. Some are bullet point preachers. Some toss their notes aside entirely and speak extemporaneously. But Sue, well, she had a way all her own. When Sue sat down to write a sermon, she did so with recycled scrap paper, often purple, of course, a pen, a pair of scissors, and a roll of scotch tape. Now, I never saw the process close up, only the finished product, but based on that, it seems she would write down her individual thoughts as they came to her throughout the week. Then she would cut them up, piece them together in the order she wanted, and then tape them together. Each sermon, a collection of little scraps of paper carefully arranged to create the messages that shaped our lives. I have one here. See what I mean? It's a funny thing to think about. The life-changing sermons, the truth-filled lessons, made up of little bits and pieces of thoughts, quotes, wisdom. Now, while a life as deep and rich as Sue's could never be boiled down to strips of paper scotch taped together, it somehow feels like it fits her. I have always been, and I continue to be, struck by Sue's consistent affinity for and attention to the little things. The bits of life, the small details, the individual acts of love that pieced together and formed the life, the ministry, the person of this beloved one. Sue believed in picking up that piece of dirt on the floor rather than complaining about it. She quietly smoothed out the wrinkles in the covering on the communion table each Sunday as she was preparing for services. She straightened the chairs in the library each time she walked through and made sure the grain of the wood on the tables all went the same direction. She ensured the Keurig in the library was filled and the coffee replenished. She faithfully watered the Christmas poinsettias and the Easter lilies to keep them alive and fresh, and then tirelessly picked up their falling leaves when they were no longer. She kept the bowl of chocolates in her office full, even when chocolate was the last thing she wanted to eat, because she knew Andrew and I, but mostly Andrew, loved them. Church tidying tasks aside, Sue believed that small gestures could keep a person in good order, too. Checking in just when you needed her to, offering encouragement, seeing in so many of us things we could not see in ourselves, praying quietly for and with us, leaving a short note or a message that made all the difference in our day, showing up consistently at the bedside, the concert, the meeting, the calling time, the seat in the pew beside you, with great consistency and care. Be faithful in the little things, she would say, and they will add up to the big things. I think we can agree they did indeed add up to one very big thing, the reason why we are all here today. Time and time again in the story of our faith, but most particularly in the Gospels, we see the same thing played out and put into action. While Jesus didn't shy away from large crowds and attention-grabbing miracles, it was the smallest acts that made up the sermon that was his life and ministry. Things like looking into people's eyes, calling women by name, eating with the outcasts, welcoming the children, healing the sick, seeing the overlooked, touching the untouchables, showing up time and time again with small acts of love, compassion, care for the smallest among us in whatever way the world had made them small. Jesus' entire ministry and mission on this earth, I believe, was to piece things together, to piece the world back together, to pick up the individual pieces of broken communities, broken people, broken hearts, and to carefully arrange them and piece them back to wholeness, not with scotch tape, but with small gestures of love. It was Mother Teresa who wrote that not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Of course, what you and I know, what Reverend Sue knew with all of her heart, was that the small things are the great things. They are what gets taped together and becomes the sermons that are our lives. There is an undeniable sense of loss, of course, profound sadness in realizing that all we have are the bits and pieces, the cutouts of Reverend Sue's life and legacy, the objects left behind, the sermon notes, the articles, the pictures, the memories. But my friends, there is comfort and a profound sense of hope in knowing that Sue is whole once more, restored, renewed, and redeemed by the one who created her, the one who sent her to us and filled her with a promise that she claimed in life and lives into now, even in death. There is also hope in knowing that Sue's spirit will remain with us, because just as Christ reminds his disciples, what we love deeply becomes a part of who we are. Though the one who we grieve this day cannot be replaced, she would want us to pick up where she left off. In so many ways, this is Sue's greatest sermon yet. We are the sermon. Each of us pieces. God, the one who puts it all together and binds it up. That as we celebrate Sue, as we live into the legacy she leaves, and as we create legacies of our own, we never lose sight of the little things that make all the difference. Sue sees the whole picture now. No scissors and no scotch tape necessary. And though we here on Earth still only see just part of the picture, the love that filled her, the wisdom she shared, the compassion she showed has become a part of who we are as we carry on. A part of the very foundation of her family, her church family, the heart of our entire community. Sue believed in leaving things and people better than she found them. Mission accomplished, small but mighty Sue. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. I believe that the very best people to share about a person's life are those who knew her best. So at this time, I'm going to invite her husband, Bob, forward, and then daughter, Jenny.
Wow. When I look out there and see how many people that Sue has touched, and so many colleagues, friends that I've been acquainted with who knew Sue through me, I just have to say thank you on behalf of Sue's family, of myself, John and his wife Kelly, Jenny and her husband Ryan, Ruby Sue, who was here a little earlier, our granddaughter, and Levi is probably in the nursery. And her brothers, Bill and Barry Bryan, who are here as well. This is a tremendous loss to us. And I asked Addie, I have an outline, but I rarely use the outline. So I think my staff from Myrtle Village remembered that before I retired. But I tend to go off on some tangents. So if I do, Addie has a taser. Or Andrew will play the piano like they do at the Academy of Music when my time is up. But I want to share with you some thoughts, and I asked Addie if I could have the permission, the honor of standing here. This is usually the place where the minister, the holier ones, are. And they will say, no, that's not really true, but yeah, it was to me. I wanted to be here because this is where Sue was. And I could count on one hand the number of times we sat in the congregation together over the 42 years. She was up here doing her thing, which she did so well. And I wanted to let you know how hard she worked to serve her congregation, her friends, colleagues, and her family. She was a true multitasker. But at home, I will tell you, she did her devotions every day, early. And what she did, she would do some scriptures, she would pray, and she'd be praying for you. She'd be praying for her congregation, who she referred to as her motley crew. I won't tell you what she referred me as, but I always like to challenge her humbleness. She was always humble, and also the human side of her. So we had some fun with her on that part as a family. We would use lines, as Sue would say, and then put a colorful metaphor in there, and then Sue would get all upset. No, I wouldn't say that. But Sue would be in her study, and she would, when we would travel, she would pick up objects, stones, shells, and maybe she'll get some beads, and they would be her prayer rocks, her prayer shells, or whatever. I have one here, and she picked it up because it had a hint of purple. For those who don't know, purple was her favorite color. That's why I bought 2 purple shirts the other day. And also, you'll see it around here. But this stone, and I'll be happy to show it to you, but this stone was rough. And I said, sweetheart, usually you pick up something that's smooth, that's colorful, that has a wonderful shape to it. But this one was not. And I said, why did you pick that up? She said, I like the color. Well, if you look at this stone right now that was once rough, is now shiny. It is smooth because she would hold it in her hands and the oils from her skin would make it smooth. That's how much she prayed. And whether we went on vacation in a hotel or whatever, she was there by the window or her favorite place praying for all of you. And she loved her congregation. I can't tell you how much it was enormous, her love for you. She loved her work. She didn't see it as a job. She saw it as a calling. I do want to make it clear that it was not God that called her. It was me. We were riding in the car. She wanted to go. She graduated. She was very humble, by the way. She graduated 2nd in a class of 1,000 at her high school, Abington High School. She graduated 2nd in her class at Eastern University. She graduated 2nd in her class at Eastern Seminary. And she decided for her doctorate, they told her you have to do it in these so many years, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 years, but she did it in 1 year less. And she was determined, even though they told her she shouldn't do it. So she was a very determined person, but because she graduated 2nd, she was very humble. She did not want to be number 1. So I always teased her about that. So I try to tease her on a number of things relating to that. But we're in the car. She went to seminary to become a Christian counselor, and went to Eastern for that. Started a interim at Glenside United Church of Christ, and she was up front doing some things for the church, and I said, wow. And in the car, we had a discussion. I said, why don't you become a minister? Because I said, you got the gift. You have the voice, the calming voice. And many of you have spoken regarding that calm voice, that gentle spirit that she had. She had that at home. As I think Nancy said, Sue will be Sue, she is at home the same. She was amazing. But she was special in so many ways to me. I was married, fortunately, to her for 45 years. We dated 3.5 years in college, and she broke up with me once. During the finals week in the freshman year, she thought I was getting too serious. Well, I found the woman that I wanted to be with, so I'm okay with being serious. She wasn't ready. But taking the final exam in anthropology, she's sitting right next to me, and we just broke up. And I'm pretty sure I got a D in that final. But of course, she got an A because she was a straight A student. So, and a lot of people would say, how did these two people get together? Bertolette's so different than from Brian. So she just was amazing spirit to me. She helped me. I'm not going to go into details, but I didn't have the greatest childhood and greatest youth. So I always say, once I met Sue, that's when my life started. And where it goes from here is the big challenge for all of us, but I will be okay. I have my dear family, dear children here. They're wonderful. A couple stories that we tried to show a more colorful side of Sue, and she resisted. But one time we were moving Jenny into an apartment at Penn State. The elevator was very crowded with a number of us, and carved in the side of the wall of the elevator was WTF. All right. If you don't know what that means, ask the person next to you. So we're standing there, and all of a sudden Sue said, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That is one of the best memories that we got of Mom. We still talk about it, and this goes back years to college years for Jenny. But that's not where it ended. Sue had a way of taking negative things and turning them into positive. So what did she do on the sign out front on Main Street? The next sermon, WTF. Where's the faith? That's my wife, Sue, the personal side of her, and we teased her about that. And also, if you ever got the pinky, that's because she can't use the other finger. She was that way, and we would tease her about that, but I got the pinky a lot from Sue, because I would love to push her buttons, and we've had some great conversations, theological conversations. One of them was about heaven, because, you know, I don't have the same lay faith level as Sue did. So I said, what's heaven? I mean, the UCC church, in my opinion, is a little bit weaker on showing what heaven is. You go into a Catholic church, I worked for the Archdiocese, or you go, when I grew up in a more conservative church, you would see pictures of God in the clouds and Jesus knocking at the door and things like that. And our discussion went on. And I said to her, or she said to me, whatever you think heaven will be, it will be even better. And I said, that doesn't help. okay, I need something more abstract. And then at bottom line, it came down to, all I want in heaven is to see her again. That is it. I will tell you, that I had the blessing of being with Sue. It was tough for 16 days while she was on hospice. I stayed there days and night. John and Jenny were there every day to support me. And I was able to be with Sue during her last breath, which was my dream, our wish, I should say. She fought a courageous battle. The pain level was intense. She almost didn't make it to her retirement celebration here at church. And I told her to take some extra medication at 5 in the morning, and she made it. But when she stood up here and she was in intense pain, we all watched her, knowing how much pain she was in. It was like a switch went on. She was just perfect. She was beautiful. And she did her sermon. It was absolutely amazing. So let me make sure with my notes that I haven't even looked at this point. And you probably are saying, thank God. But it's okay to say thank God in church. But I will say that I'm grateful to the church because Sue wanted a labyrinth, which we do have out here. She was big in the labyrinths. Every time we traveled, she was looking for a labyrinth. And when we were at the Meadowood Resort in St. Helena above Napa, they had a labyrinth, but it was tucked in the woods. There were signs saying, beware of mountain lions. She went every morning by herself to that labyrinth. So I think she was being well protected. So I had three prayers, and I'm going to end with this. There's a lot more I would like to say, but I want to respect your time as well. I had three prayers I remember as a child to my teenage years. The one dealt with the first night I was in a new home being adopted by a couple. But the two prayers that were very meaningful to me in my later years, because I didn't have much of a self-esteem. And I prayed to God for a special woman who I could love and who could love me. God not only answered my prayer, he gave me a bonus with Sue. I would never expect a spirit like that to come into my life. And again, my life started with her. The second prayer in my late teens was, since I was adopted, it was very important for me to have our own children. And they are absolutely amazing. John, Jenny, God, we love you. Your mom loved you. But I not only got my prayer answered, I got a bonus. So, thank you again so much for being here. It means a lot, and this church I don't think has been that full until before COVID. So thank you so much, and thank you for respecting the mass. Sue was very big about protecting people, and God bless you all very much.
I'll keep this brief because I saw my dad's outline last night, and I know we're approaching the lunch hour. But I just wanted to channel my mom, and maybe memorial services aren't for this, but I'm going to give you us all a quick pep talk. Here's the thing. If we were lucky enough to know my mom, even in a small or brief way, I believe she prepared us for this moment and for all the hard moments in our lives that will surely follow. I believe we will never forget the calming sound of her voice, her quiet presence that somehow could command an entire room, her simple, effortless words of wisdom, and her ability to make anyone and everyone feel seen. There are going to be days where we want to say WTF. But I encourage us, as we all grieve this loss, to do our best to channel my mom, to pay tribute to all that she has taught us about faith, about life, and about ourselves. I promise you, she would want us to find the faith in this moment, to keep the faith, to share the faith. And I hope that now that she has finally found comfort after a whole lot of suffering, and yes, even questioning, that we will too. And as hard as that feels in this moment, that's what she would want. Thank you for being here. It's truly awesome to witness the impact that she has had on so many.
I just want to mention one thing because you're going to hear Sue's voice at the end of the service. We made a decision as a family that we thought it would be appropriate for Sue to do the benediction today. So you're going to hear a recording. And I'm prepping you for that because when I heard it this morning, it was tough to have any sense of composure. It was hard. So just want to prepare you for that. Thank you.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, into your good care and gentle keeping, we commend Sue, one of your beloved children, member of your family, good and faithful servant. Our faith, a faith that so many of us learned from her, assures us that this is not the end of her story, and we trust that just as she lived out her faith in you on this earth, so she will now live into that faith with you for eternity. As we release Sue back into your loving arms, the place from whence she came, we also pray for ourselves, that in the midst of our grief, O God, you will offer us grace as we struggle with the things about life and suffering and death that we just do not understand. We acknowledge our feelings of sadness, of emptiness, of shock, confusion, and struggle. And we also know and trust that through your love, we have the key to deep and real peace, the kind of peace that meets us where we are and gently moves us forward. God, we ask for time, for patience with ourselves and others as we adjust to life without Sue. We ask for quiet moments of unexplainable peace to fill us, your spirit and hers to surround us, loved ones to lift us up, and memories to comfort and ground us. And most of all, O God, we ask for assurance now that you hold Sue safely in the palm of your hand, even as we ask for that same hand to be upon us as we pick up where she has left off. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Amen. My friends, the remembering and the honoring of Sue's life and legacy surely will not end here. In fact, I encourage you to continue to share stories and memories as you process all that has unfolded and the impact it has had. In so many ways, this is the hard part. When the people go home and the adrenaline and anticipation that has carried us the past few weeks has settled, I urge you to keep praying for Bob, for John, for Jenny and their families, now more than ever. I encourage you to pay attention to your own grief that goes with you this day, but I also pray that you make space for hope. I know that is what Sue would want us to hold on to, taking comfort in the knowledge that Sue is free from pain, free from suffering, safely in God's presence, and that the God who holds Sue close in hand has hands large enough and strong enough to hold each one of us. Before Reverend Sue's words of benediction fill this space one last time, and to be reminded once more of God's faithfulness, I invite you again to rise in body or spirit to sing our closing hymn found on the reverse side of that insert.
Friends, as you go out into the world this day to enjoy the gift that God has given us, the gift of life, I challenge you to think about your legacy. How will you be remembered? Remember, it's not just about the big things we do, it's about the little things we do, the little decisions we make, the choices we decide upon day in and day out. May the choices we make be ones that honor our God, that touch deeply the lives of others. As you go out into the world this day, my prayer is this, that you will go with courage. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his smile upon you and fill you with peace, now and always. Amen. Mm-hmm.